My name is Kole, Assistant Bukudolo from South Kering, member of the committee for the AIDS Initiative.
My name is Otim Welo Nongonyana, member of the committee for the AIDS for Africa.
Member of this committee declared that the ANC is safe.
My name is Moshi Denkabi from the University of the City.
My name is Jennifer Gala, Culture and Progress Agency.
My name is Mpuela Swade, member of this committee coming from the Democratic Alliance from the Mpogo Rwanda. Thank you.
My name is Charles Nandu, President of the party. I will be
Good morning, my name is Alvin Sikha, I'm from the Department of the Senate of the Government. Good morning, Mary. Thank you.
Halil Muraji, Sağolda.
Lars Charles from Sağolda.
members I think the business before the committee is a greeting by the University of Free State on the state of unrest across the country. We would want to hear them out on their findings. I see the name of Dr. Mercedes is here. I think I should give the floor to you, Doc.
Okay.
A minute. I'm being corrected. Yeah, but Salga is the one who should be.
No, my understanding
is that.
My understanding, Chairperson, is that we were going to be given just a few minutes or so to make some preliminary comments. I'll introduce the issue of the presentation by Salga, and Salga will make a very brief presentation and take it from there.
As you are saying, Honorable, the arrangement I can see now, it has been changed in front of me, but there's no point that to the preliminary remarks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, invited participants and stakeholders, ladies and gentlemen. I would just like to make a very few comments before the Salga presentation is put in front of the House. Just to say that our understanding as far as of the community process is that by and large these have been isolated. But this is not to me that these developments are not important. In fact, we think as far as the contrary, that they are worthy of special attention. These protests in themselves did not come as a surprise to us as the organized local government. And this is so primarily because, on one hand, there's provision for community participation and the space for people to raise their concerns as for what is for in the Constitution as well as in the relevant legislation. We have also made an observation which indicates that there were growing expectations as the community does. And these can be summed up as really no longer just raising the question of delivery, but asking the question when is my test, either the individual in the city where I stay or in the village where I'm located. We also think that it's very, very important to locate this process within the context and understanding that there has been, this according to the case, a need for the improvement and deepening of the intergovernmental relations and coordination, as well as planning and alignment. And this applies specifically to issues such as housing, electricity, social grants, and similar functional units and departments. So there's need for dependent IGR, and ensuring improvement in relation to coordination. The other issue that is a reason that was anticipated would indeed lead to quite some difficulty is the whole matter of the complexities of cross-boundary demarcation. The other issue is intra-party political contestations and squabbles. This is an issue that leads to internal political party disputes and problems. The other is no question of genuine service delivery witnesses the collaborators have been talking about over a period of time. And lastly, the question of corruption and poor government. And one of the issues that has come up in relation to the work that we're doing in Salaga in an ongoing manner is the question of inappropriate appointments. So we say, as Salaga, that we say yes to protest, but we say no to violent protest action. And we say protests are permissible only if kept within the parameters provided for in the Constitution as well as relevant legislation. And we are of the view that anarchy has no state in the no state at all. Any compromise to anarchy will lead us to even greater and much more, much more complex difficulties. We have, in the current period, been having discussions at Salga. This is in relation to local government white paper review process. We've had our initial national consultative workshop, and we've made initial proposals with regard to public participation, powers and functions, as well as the question of fiscal allocation. Lastly, the Salga NSC met in August, looked at this process, and amongst others, we have taken a decision to visit all Salga provinces and to engage with member municipalities with a view of assessing them, keeping the whole question of service delivery at the moment. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Alderman. Any further points to add?
Thank you very much, Alderman Chairperson. Good morning to members of the committee.
I will quickly cover the areas more broadly as the Chairperson of Alderman has indicated in terms of the presentation, giving the context and the key observation in support of the Chairperson's stated background. I think honourable members will recall that sometime around 2004, this project began to show. At that time, there were more visible in two provinces, Northwest and Free State. And they intensified around the time leading to the 2006 elections and post-2006. And a number of areas have been cited as causative elements around it, ranging from cross-border boundary municipalities, as the Chairperson has indicated, service delivery and local administration, to also political related matters. But of course, there's always been an unfortunate component of these protests leading to violent elements and some extreme cases where there's also loss of life. And when you look at some of the sources of these protests, sometime around July, my colleague from Free State will probably elaborate more when he covers on this. There has been research done by the Free State University around these issues, and they have really raised a number of areas that somewhat are cited as contributing to these areas. Issues of poor governance, individual political struggles, poor communication, poor service delivery, and ineffective client interface. In other instances, lack of financial management and lack of youth development. As the Chairperson has indicated, sometimes instances of efficient management and intergovernmental challenges. And if we map out the national synopsis of this municipal protest, these are some of the municipalities in each province where these instances have been very prominent, and instances where issues of concern have been raised are cited in each case, ranging from nepotism, up to lack of consultation in the end. But most difficult ones in this case is when there will be challenges of acceptance of ward councillors, cross-boundary issues, and lack of progress on the service delivery related issues. In Gauteng, prominent cases like Ruleni, Joburg and Swan, citing those issues, lack of service delivery, up to electrification problems. In the Northern Cape, those municipalities cited more or less similar challenges, a wide range of issues of service delivery, political challenges and cross-boundary issues. In KwaZulu-Natal, members will recall the challenges we had around name changes and land invasions and housing. In the Eastern Cape, in the King Sabarakalinga municipality, in Nelson Mandela Metro, the same issues broadly, lack of service delivery, lack of housing, and cited issues. Prestgate, Genesaret municipality, and Genesaret were some of the key prominent cases in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, up to Western Cape. So in almost all areas, there have been instances where there has been recorded instances of municipal protests. But in the context of these protests, ranging from lack of service delivery, there is also key substantive service delivery gains registered over the period of 1995 to 2005. And there has been real substantial improvements in the delivery of services, noteworthy in the provision of water, electricity, sanitation, and remote removal. There has been significant tremendous progress around the delivery of those areas. And of course, people would look at service delivery in this area and say, when is it coming for all the world? Other service delivery achievements were indicated, free-based services, government delivery of greenhouse housing and household assistance services has indicated in those but these are some of the key observations surfacing around these protests. Communication challenges between government and communities, and SALGA and ourselves, the BLG, Government Communication Services, there's been structured programs in the form of establishment of communication forums at the city level, local level, to really make sure that there is improvement in the communication of service delivery and also taking concerns of citizens around which service delivery must be improved. So there's structured mechanisms in place. However, there is an acknowledged improvement in terms of how those mechanisms are in fact made to operate in an effective and efficient way. And though not all borders relate to poor service delivery, there are service delivery concerns that need to be attended, with municipalities engaging in community participation initiatives, and some of the issues raised pertain to municipal internal admin processes, holistic approach to communication service delivery, the role played by councillors, key competences around dispute resolution by councillors, taking into account we have almost 2% of new councillors that have been put in place. So we think that there's a need for us to empower councillors around dealing with issues of dispute resolution as they are at the core phase of interacting at what level. Also, the issues around the media coverage of those. Of course, there's always challenges in the stories in terms of which ones to use, where the item. And we think that there is real scope for improvement in terms of ensuring that there is balanced coverage of issues in terms of communicating the gains and also communicating areas where there is perceived weaknesses in the delivery machinery. And some of the key proposals we're making in Salga is that there's a need for intensification of proactive communication through both electronic and print media. Address misinformation by, amongst other things, profiling practical programs where there is significant improvement made in local government around service delivery, significant improvement made by provincial government, significant improvement made by national government to make sure that there is a clear and capable communication of service delivery. Inculcating responsible use of the planning processes and decisions for Cleveland and Academy. These are some of the areas that are already provided in the legislative framework, in the Municipal Systems Act and Structures Act. But we think there is scope in terms of resources, support for municipal creation, and mechanism measures, and ensure that there is better intergovernmental alignment of these regulations. And these are some of the key steps that have been indicated in our partnership with BMG, CIS, in terms of intensifying the communication, visitation to some of these key structures have been made, and also in Salga, the NEC of Salga undertook to engage the Human Rights Commission and the Public Protector sometime around August, and we will be engaging them also on how best to be ensure that there is alignment in our dealing with these matters. And also in the 5-year local government strategic agenda, which is an all-encompassing intergovernmental program of support to local government, there is a need for intensification of the political support program to make sure that there is a mechanism to deal with the underlying and chronic governance challenges experienced by municipalities. So as Salga, the chairperson has indicated that the NEC is already engaging directly to improve client interface with our member municipalities to assist them on those areas where there is major governance problems, and the program is rotating throughout the country. And these are some of the mechanisms that we are putting in place in ensuring that we alleviate some of the concerns raised around the process. Thank you very much. That was great.
Thank you very much. We recognize that the GTA passed and now on the members will just have to keep it very tight. What would you prefer? Would you prefer to engage with the with Salga presentation before the University of Cape or would you have the two presentations first and then engage them collectively?
I would suggest that the university present so that at the time when you engage, then we'll be able, because we also would like to hear them responding on the issues we have raised, giving the Salga in terms of closing the gap, based on the objective of this exercise.
Okay, I think that's a general argument. Members, you have copies of the presentation in front of you. If Dr. Matevin would start while technicians would be looking into the machine.
I am actually representing the Center for Development Support from the University of the Free State, and we are actually very privileged to be invited to this committee. I think if you look at slide number 3, quotation, the point of departure, social control is a continuing function of every social system. And when the mechanisms of control, both formal and informal, weaken, people may lose confidence in the existing system and try to reform it through collective behavior. Social control can break down when the formal agents of control fail to perform their roles adequately. And I think that quotation actually gives the whole background or actually the crux of my presentation. I'm not going to dwell on about the background. I think my colleague from FAG has already indicated that. But our report is based on four case studies conducted by the Center for Development Support at the University and funded by CAGE. Now, the first two case studies were actually Kumelela in the Free State and Kusol. And those two case studies were conducted on behalf of the Center for Development Support during May and June 2006. And the last two case studies, Pumulong near Hanuman in the Free State and Nelson Mandela Bay Municipality were conducted as he also around about May and June. Now, we all know that the Kusong case study differs from all the other three case studies because the Kusong case study is about the demarcation issue there. Now, if you can just give you a brief background on CAGE. Now, CAGE is a primarily a grant-making project set up through a financing agreement between the government of South Africa and the European Union's program for reconstruction and development. Now, the implementing agency is actually the National Treasury of South Africa. Now, if we can just briefly reflect on the methodology. Sorry for that, unfortunately I'm not an IT expert about this. Nonetheless, if you just look at slide number 6 there on the methodology, we've conducted consulted more than 100 newspaper reports, and we also did a secondary analysis of the census figures, and we consulted, our respondents have done about 100 individual interviews with your current and previous councillors and business owners, your security personnel, including the South African police services, provincial officials, and community leaders. We also did plus minus 300 focus group sessions with around 300 community members. And these community members included both protesters and non-protesters. If we just look at the reasons for the unrest, especially the first reasons pertaining to Kusong, and if you look at the slide, you will see the trade of government decisions that were taken in Kusong. The very first decision was the first two government notices, which indicated that the raffle will fall into Northwest. The second one, submissions to the demarcation board, Gauteng. The third, the governance decision, the Gauteng local government portfolio committee. It was Gauteng again. And then the fourth one, by the Gauteng legislature, it was Northwest again, and then Gauteng. Now, this in itself actually indicates the trade of governance decisions around the incorporation of Mirafong into Northwest. Now, but what are the reasons, or what were the reasons for the social unrest in Kusong? you look down at that figure there, you would actually see that poor socio-economic conditions also contributed to the unrest in Kosovo. And the history of unsettled human settlement, which is actually around the Dolomite, the Dolomitic situation of that. Also very important, it was another aspect of the inadequate community engagement, coupled with lack of the appropriate intergovernmental relations and political opportunism there. I'm going to come back to that because it has been indicated that in all case studies, most of these protests actually took place just before the elections. Now, another reason that has been alluded to is actually poor governance. For instance, in Pumalela, in the Free State, there was no council meeting took place for almost a year, and that led to basic decision-making and direction. Now, in the Nelson Mandela Metro, it took many years for the greater development plan to be accepted, and that in itself also created a lot of unhappiness on the ground. was also instances where individual political struggles were indicated as a reason for the unrest. Now, it was struggles between local factions, for instance, in Pumalong in the Free State, although no compelling evidence of corruption against the certain councillor could be found, but he was actually forced to resign. And that in itself is an indication that when the formal communication lines are not effective, then obviously people at local level, there are individuals in this local municipal area that can actually exploit that situation to their own advantage. And also very evident from our study was that struggles also emanate from the provincial level. And those struggles also play themselves out in the Pumalela local municipality. Another reason for the protest is also indicated as poor communication, which was given as the most single important reason for the protest. And in most instances, in fact, in all four case studies, there was an indication that most work committees were not functional. And where they were functional, they actually served as a mechanism of exclusion. If I just read one quotation from our one focus group member participant, says that work committee meetings are held with only a select few. If you're not in the good books of work councillors, you will not be given the opportunity to speak at public meetings. Once again, as alluded by Saga, or indicated in the Saga presentation, ineffective client interface has also been indicated as one of the reasons behind the protest. That, and sometimes the councillors are labeled as arrogant, and that lack of effective complaint management was also indicated as one of the reasons. For instance, there were no coherent systems in place to measure service delivery or the quality of client interface. An interviewer in Pumalela sums this up. If I had to rate the municipality by means of the guidelines used to rate the hospitality industry, I would give it half a star for water and electricity and a 0 star for sanitation before the unrest. With the slight improvements since then, I can give it half a star for water and electricity and a -5 star, whatever that means, for sanitation. Some of you might say, say that it's a cynical quotation, but this actually indicates the frustration of the people on the ground about service delivery. Thank you very much.
The CEO of Saudi does not know this, but I consulted him last night when he was asleep. His presentation was the true high, but I'm looking quite closely. The chef really doesn't spend more than 6 minutes or so, but I think the presentation is not very safe for the safety. I think the kind of approach that we want to adopt in this discussion is just to remind ourselves governance that we have. We still want to continue to argue that our system of local government is relatively new. We define the developmental system of local government as defined by ordinary people being at the center of working with our local government. And then, of course, our recent elections have resulted in 283 facing elections. And we have a situation now where we have over 3,800 ward committees throughout the country and over 9,300 councillors. Also, since 2000, since the inauguration of the new system, we've had two important major interventions in the local government, and the local government agenda. And we simply say that that provides the context within which we need to kind of come to the discussion. The next couple of slides really will make of the kind of research that the DPLG we have been monitoring on the site. So this slide and the next three slides simply draws from the Mail and Guardian, for example. One instance, we have many other examples where they try to tabulate all the different local protests, the service protests. There are a total of about 51 protests that they have identified over the period of between 2004 and 2007. Our preliminary analysis really just make two general points at the outset. In our view, we think shared system has been that we haven't come across any comprehensive research on this. All the research we have seen is very focused, they've been thematic, they're based on case studies. So simply gave you an indication of some of the more important pieces of work that we have seen and have been privy to. Let me just highlight point F there, that part of the post-review process, we are doing a whole range of work in a range of different areas. We community participation is one such important area, and obviously there's a number of issues coming out and also that was researched. What maybe should be is, or what could be useful, is just to hear what some of these experts and opinion leaders are going to say in respect of these protests. You know, if you look at, you know, the NATO, incident, it very clearly says, even the American Guardian has recognized that this regime appears to have been the result of political turmoil between those two political parties. If you look at the development enterprise, and I think this point has already been made, because some does not easily fit into any template of the labor project, especially one that emphasizes the service delivery and the transport aspect of the project. Again, from the previous presenter, we've also seen in general the protests were regarded as having sparked by machine service delivery, but obviously it's much more complex than that. In other research that we have commissioned, again, the point has been made, you know, the usual refrain is that these protests are about service delivery, while at the face value this may be true, the research suggests that the underlying motivation for social unrest are far more complex. I think people are by and large, you know, saying similar things. Again, just one of the other quick quotations, if you look at the top right-hand corner of the African Institute of Race Relations, they are saying, in a sense, and no doubt controversially, it is true that the government is in this case a victim of its partial success. I think that kind of chairperson of Salvo was alluding to this point earlier when we discussed this. So chairperson, I think these are some of the kind of views that they might, maybe let me just pick up one other point. It's the bottom right-hand corner. You know, one of the experts also said that citizens also seek to have their voices heard outside of formal channels of public participation. And of course, the most obvious example they're saying is this example of social protest. I think we don't need to kind of get into these case studies. I think they're basically really important in everything that we said. And again, this slide, in our view, begins to capture, from all these pieces of research, they begin to capture some of the multiplicity or the multiplicity of kind of causal factors that seems to be at the base of these topics. If you look at the right-hand column, and I think maybe some of these issues have not come up, some of the experts in the research are saying that you see these protests in particular in small towns because they've got their own unique challenges. So they talk about small town stresses. They talk about fragile institutions, recognizing a system of government is so young. The fact that many municipalities are almost in a perpetual state of restructuring, ill-advised appointments, the issue of accountability and responsibility. So I think chairperson, those are just some of the kind of number of issues that from details you cite, again, our initial observations are that when we looked at the protests 2004-2005, our initial view, and I think there's still a lot of people say that still persists, is that there was a strong correlation between where these protests were taking place and the targeted project consolidation policies. And what we're actually saying here, and again concurring completely with the chief of Salga, is that you say in one sense we were not surprised. Because when we identified those project consolidation expenses, we were precisely identifying it because there were serious service delivery and governance challenges there. So when we saw the protest there, in a sense, they should have been anticipated. Another observation is that again if you look at all of the literature and our own assessment, it does seem that it seems to be a slightly higher concentration of these protests in those three provinces, three states, and housing that it gets become blue. And then of course we have made point C, we made that point repeatedly. And then I think point D is also kind of an overriding theme that comes through all the time. The issue of the relationship and poor communication between our municipalities and ordinary communities. Now again, in completely agreeing with the CEO of Salga in terms of how we want to the discussion. We are arguing that you cannot have this discussion by ignoring the fact that there has been substantial progress in service delivery. And by the way, these figures are not even the very latest figures. If you look at the community survey figures that were released by SAPIA recently, point that I want to make is that we are busy preparing for the cabinet support literally a month and a half time. And we have even updated figures, even more recent figures that we need to demonstrate even more progress than the kind of figures that we see here. So clearly, one is we need to understand the issue of when people are protesting about service delivery, what does that mean against general view of government that we are making progress. And I think one of the specific points we want to make, and I think it comes from some of the research that we've seen, is that it is not so much an issue of absolute poverty that causes people to engage in some of these protests. It's more an issue of relative and comparative poverty and lack of access to services. Then again, just on the general theme of communication and accountability, simply what we're doing here is remind ourselves that we have quite a robust regulatory and policy regime that really, sets out very clear requirements for municipalities to have very healthy, dynamic relationships with our communities. And by and large, we do not see any of these things happening. So those three bottom blocks there, again, just begin to indicate some of the kind of things that we're doing and sort of gone beyond that. We have board committees, we're trying to work on issues of accountability, the performance standards, regulations, but one very deliberate intervention to try and tighten up the issue of accountability. And again, the ISMBIZO has been quite an important instrument in taking forward and keeping communication. Then, in conclusion, again, we want to emphasize the point that was made earlier. We obviously have kind of a white paper very clear that ordinary people should participate in matters of local government in various capacities, and you can see those capacities there on the left-hand side. And then also in terms of our systems act, it is very clearly stated in law that our local communities have the right to participate in the affairs of the municipality in at least those four instances. Adequate process, performance management, with regard to the preparation of the budget, and also with regard to matters pertaining to service delivery. And I think the kind of overall conclusion that we're making is that in view of the white paper that we're currently creating, we serve certainly a step on the final slide. What we are doing is certainly to continue with our analysis of these protests and the various research that we're showing to. We are strengthening our own internal capability to monitor these protests. We also continue to work very closely with provinces. We know that we talk about this in the press, but we work very closely with the Free State and the Northwest, and we're trying to understand the reasons behind some of these protests. And then again, also in the meantime, we think that the intensified implementation of the private local government strategic agenda in many ways would deal with some of these causal concerns that many people seem to be highlighting and the reasons for the protest. And in conclusion, again, we are saying that the policy review process is reflecting on a number of lessons, including those around community participation, accountability, responsiveness, and the various obstacles into the service. So, Chairperson, that is just very short. Thank you very much.
Very much, ladies and gentlemen. There you have the three presentations. Let's start with the first one. Start off with the second. Any questions there? Questions or comments?
Yeah, no, thank you, Chairperson. Having to thank Salga, Chairperson, I think this is the discussion at the right time. I might be aware that Salga did make reference in terms of political engagement, but I think what we need to overemphasize exactly, taking from the Chairperson's last comment on anarchy, that it is clear, based also on our experience, that most of the riots were protests were led by agitators. Now, which I think, based on our experience, is that it was very necessary to engage directly with structured political organizations that are dominant in the area. Okay. And one example that I want to share with you. As I come from Gauteng, you know the issue of land claims, and that has to do with my area, for instance. The village is long-standing ever since. It was what led to a success was our deployment in terms of engaging without closing others outside, including even those who were totally against the present government. Involving them in the process, then there was this buy-in that whatever, at the time when the land claims was brought into, because our biggest issue, I'm standing down around this so that reflects, I think the question of our leadership in how to teaching them how to communicate to communities in very clear terms. We talk to ourselves or about the people, and then that's where we have the challenge. So I would like to hear around that. I think a lot you have covered that politically. I'd still like to hear more in terms of that. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments,
thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is actually referred to when the founder was doing the research with regards to poor governance and poor communication and poor service delivery. I think in most cases, the people who were engaged in protest were actually citing that as a very serious point that they are not looked after. And the government is not actually disseminating proper information to them so that they could understand exactly what is happening. So I just wanted to find out from Zanga with regard to this point that you just outlined here, as to whether have they tried to address this, because this it seems as a very serious and pertinent issue to those communities who are involved in this kind of march.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay.
Just one. I thought I would raise it when it is discussed. You can start me, but I think it's well placed. Also, I just make reference to something, just because the chair comes from there. The short standard. You see, one has been involved in diffusing some in county around the housing. I know it's a white paper process, but I think it's important that we reflect. You see, people would march to municipalities but demand to then go to the province. Which in very simple terms gives us an observation that it's like they shift confidence from the municipality to the province. Where they expect houses is a question of expectations in terms of housing delivery, but then the process that outlines the competency level, I think, is a challenge. So maybe also the department is, but then I'm using housing as an example where we had a lot of protests around the housing and the link to municipalities and the provincial.
Thank you, Chairperson. So this was the question that we both raised on the submission. We've heard that there are varying reasons the reasons from which these protests are emanating, and there are various steps that were taken to interact with different stakeholders. Is there a suggested plan to curb these protests across the country?
Obviously.
Has partly represented me, but I want to go on to say DPS Jim State World Committee to the 1997 Founder says the poor communication. Every department seems to have reasons for why we are having problems. What I need to look into is that obviously there is something that we have not done enough. And looking at work committees, I'll still say there is a lot that has not been, because even in my area here there is a work committee, but they are not known. Once you see in the work committees, even the very people who are work committee members don't seem to be clear on what is to be done by work committees. So I think we need to start, I just commenting, we need to start from somewhere. And my obvious point is the ward committee, because they are in the conflict of things with the councillors, and we are saying there are problems within local government. That needs to be ward committee.
Now, let me ask this question. See, the question of public participation, we've got formal systems of public participation, structured forms, but there also are informal systems of public participation that we haven't mentioned here that exist, that we often do not think about. And I guess they are a very important sort of communication as well. And it's linked to the broader issue of protest. How can we get rid of protest completely? Surely we can't. Okay. So why could you make this our objective? I suppose that's part of the reason for the struggle, but that people must be able to protest and not more underground because they protest. So I think the political reason for while protests take place, whilst we seek to understand them, surely it is not so that we do away with them completely, but that the underlying reason for those protests, if they relate to anything about them, must be done so. Politically, people will find reasons for protesting, okay? Because they differ with whoever is controlling. So that would be accepted and to be dealt with in a particular manner. I think that is what we should say and find a way of dealing with on the one hand. Because I think also the way in which we deal with public protest, we seem to think that they shouldn't be there. And yet you say this is a democracy. I mean, like, this is crazy. That's the first point I thought I should make, and therefore we'd like to have some response from Salga. The second thing, I think in the problematizing that Salga has done, I identify that. My beef is your Salga's public relations is not what it is. In other words, you're not on the radar screen. Your profile isn't there altogether, because you have a collective view of it on the one hand, and that collective view is very important for the public to hear, okay, of an association that represents municipalities. So, and one of the things that can come from that credibility is that you have an eye not only on one municipality, but on many. So you have a better sense of generating useful experiences for us to understand. So the absence of your public profile has a negative impact on our understanding of issues. So I'd like you to respond to that, because I think it is one of those critical issues. And I suspect when the president asked Salga at the members' assembly about what is Salga's role in this matter, he partly had in mind that view as a representative of municipalities. The issue that perhaps your profile is not coming up sharply. And the other one relates to consciousness. I think, I suspect, okay, it's in the language that you use, the client interface, meaning there are structures that exist. People do use those structures. What they are unhappy about is the quality and the speed of responsiveness. Okay? And we have used these structures that exist. We know about their existence and so on. But what is coming back to us is feedback isn't coming back. And when that does come back, it comes back years later and so on. So that's the element that is important. I do suspect that what you mean by client interface is talk to that issue. Now, what I would like, having heard the three presentations, I don't know whether it's a startup, you want to single out some issues for me. Your the most accentuated expression of it is by Isanta in the quotations that the DPLG uses, that says, this is a complex issue. In other words, the free state, the university will respond to that. I didn't quite, maybe I missed it. Here you speak to that one. Your quotation itself precludes that complexity, seems to conclude that the breakdown of the system. So I just want Sarah to address that question of this complexity. That, let me give two examples. In Manujapofu, the ward committee and citizens in that ward agreed on a system of how homes were going to be electrified. And the process was undertaken to employ it. And then in the middle of the program, one of the officials was changed. And he decided to also change other things in the implementation program. And so people went mad. They protested. Now, because they wanted to tamper with the order with which houses were going to be electrified. In other words, resources are allocated, people are identified, but someone now wants to change the procedure, and that's the process. So when you say service delivery, efficiency service delivery, as a reason for the process, you don't talk about that process, because that one is about something else altogether. There is money, there are decisions made for implementation, but people are talking about the implementation dynamics of that issue. It's not about aspects of service delivery. It is this complexity that we often do not find in the media, and it's mentioned in the observation of Isanda and the observation about the project. So, so in terms of communicating that, but also providing the evidence, sharply, of that nature is a very useful one. I just wanted to make those quick comments.
No, thank you very much, the first comment is that it's very important to always remember that SAGA is neither a governmental body, not a government department, nor is it completely unrelated and unlinked to governmental process. It's a quasi governmental institution. And is then meant to do the following things. To build capacity amongst the municipalities, to act as a voice of municipalities and therefore play a representative role, and then the need for us to, in an ongoing way, build the ability to lobby and so on. Thirdly, to be a knowledge center. Of sorts and link up with academic and teacher institutions in an ongoing way so that the knowledge that is built over time is not lost and so on. But the third one that I want to make is that when looking at this project, the temptation amongst human beings in general is to reduce it to one single reason. It's a temptation that's there. And that approach is not very helpful. Because the issue that we're dealing with is a complex issue. And therefore, the approach that is utilized by the University of the Free State to do a scientific study of the problem is very, very useful. The one that people continue to do. We welcome the substitution in the same direction and everybody else. Certainly, I want to say that in Falga, we don't view ourselves as the know-it-all. We rather see ourselves as a learning organization. Amongst us, this learning happens as we interact with the situation on the ground, and as we learn from people themselves, from communities, from members of municipalities, from the ongoing interaction with the actual situation. Having said that, I want to affirm what the Jefferson was saying earlier on, that protest are a normal democratic process. The full march is a placard, is a demonstration. It's normal political life in South Africa. It will continue to be like that for thousands of years to come. And it's something that must encourage, because we must speak up on the issue. Of course, there's a condition. The condition is that all of us must act within the principles and the parameters set out by the Constitution as well as relevant legislation. In other words, we must utilize available infrastructure, whether it be the work committee or whatever other mechanisms that are available to do what needs to be done. The next point I want to raise is what has been referred to here as data. The temptation at hand is very great to say, let's go after the agitator. I can tell you now without any fear of controversy that the so-called agitators are a minority of a minority of a minority of a minority in our society. They do not count when it comes to saying who has the support in community. It would be a mistake to hold us and to pursue that approach. What we should rather be doing, and this was what the thing that should be our focus, is to concentrate on service delivery and development. That was the thing we should be doing in an ongoing way. And then I just want to emphasize that at Salga, we think we're on a high threat. We think, as Jefferson has said, we need to really enhance the voice of Salga, and Salga must be heard. But above all, exactly what you know, appearing on television, in newspapers, and so on, and nothing, communication is not important. We need to ensure that Salga grapples with the issue. On the ground, and have a very good sense of what the actual issues are, and assist municipality, and together with municipality, move in the direction of ensuring that our highly lauded and praised system of local government finds expression on the ground and become more of a reality than is the case at the moment. We think that the space was improved on the work that we're doing.
Let's go to the district. Question to you before you are agitated already. We won't go after that. I like this idea of talking to the being one, I would hate anybody to go up there. So I think myself is just to speak to that. Yeah, okay. Let's get to the questions directed at the university. Kekai. Honorable Kekai. Oh, and then Mom Kumei.
Is that?
Switch on the mic there for you. Yeah, okay.
The one thing I didn't get very clear from the university is that, I mean, our understanding in research is that you are able to go into depth, you know. At times, we hear things from newspapers, we hear things from organizations about the project and so on. But, you know, we expect the university to give us something that is scientific, in other words, something that is just that is more than just the superficial appearances of issues. Now, just listening to the university, I might have missed it, Chair, pardon me if I did. I didn't hear anything new except what newspapers report on. In fact, what you are finding kind of a confirmation of what the chairperson of SAUCA has already said? Was it just a confirmation of that, or is there any new that you are trying to come up with? I could have missed it, but I'm just saying I didn't get anything.
I think this one is going to be general to all the presenters here, because it seems to be appearing in all the presentations. Mine will be about the risk management of the housing listed chapter. To make an example, when we go to apply for this RDP houses, we are given small papers, numerically number 1, 2, every address we are taking. But when the houses are already there, I'll be holding number 150 in my hand. How can you find that somebody is already in house number 150? And then me and that person have got to see what to do. And now the municipality, it will be clear as to who gave that person that house, because I'm given this number 50 by the person who was compiling the waiting list. And the second one, Chairperson, now my question is, does any of the presenters have a mechanism ready to can manage the waiting list in municipality? Because I don't know whether it appears in all municipalities, but there are people who have been in the waiting list since their first application. You know, the wrong with our people is when a new thing comes up, they take it for granted, they think it's a plain matter. But when the implementation is already there, then they start manipulating the process. Now, the other one, Chairperson, is about the current councillors and the Lady Magunete on the list. You know, Chairperson, there are people who were councillors in the first elections of August 2004, who used to stay in the Northwest. I must particularly make an example of where I come from. Today, because that person is no more a councillor, somebody now forms something like a demarcation forum to say, we do not want to fall under the Northwest, but we want to go to the Northern Cape, or we want to go to Gauteng. Now, when we are invited into a meeting and the people are still saying, well, what is this demarcation forum? You know, that's why I'm saying I don't know whether it's the DPRC, whether it's SAUCA, whether it's demarcation forum, whether it's who, that there are such things that are happening, there are such structures. We know the work committee and the other something, the CDW, they are under the local government. But now these other structures, where do they come from? And the SAUCA or whoever can discipline these people who form such forums under their names, for instance, the demarcation board. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I guess the
No, thank you, Chair. You have myself earlier highlighted, not because your slide makes reference to Parliament, but the reason for protest. You made a point here that the Parliament Portfolio Committee and then Housing Province, I don't know how this area is, because Parliament is in Cape Town. No, My point exactly relates to what Kevin is raising. Also, maybe we are victim of the same challenge that is facing our people in this country, that once you say university academically, maybe we see you as a sophisticated institution, that you see things beyond what the normal IT sees. In terms of what committees, and I'm saying this, maybe we should change the very legislative framework, is the problem with the South African situation as we find it in terms of high levels of illiteracy. Is it, are we since 1994, or let's say since 1996, when the issue of political empowerment of our people, are our people generally at a level where if you ask Americans, they always change this picture that people understand their government. Our people at that level understanding exactly what government is doing from local level, nationally, so as to then bring this to, there's this question of representation. And then also linked to people's needs. And this, I think, brings us back to the question of the complications, where you have highlighted true that people move from one area to the other. The issue of consistency. Because why are there the issue of political? And everything Osaka is correctly responded. If you had cameras and they were database, you would identify the same person who was in the train station would be living in Martin County. The very same person would be someone. We have that evidence. Now I'm saying they have to use a certain way. But the other one is that the problem is that within government institutional arrangements, or is the government within our system in terms of let's use the IDP. We have all the mechanisms that are confirmed by the Department of DPLG, institutionally and legal. But using the IDP, which if it is then authentic, it means it must have made represented all the people, and they will have no reason. It's a question of how communication is report back is being done, or it's a question of people not communicating correctly so that feedback is not forthcoming. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor. Yeah, in fact, I just wanted to find out from doctor from the university with regard to the Kumalela municipality. He indicated here on the slide that the council didn't have meeting for quite some time, for a year. But when on the other side, he's saying that the reasons for protest with regard to individual political struggle. He's also mentioning the problem that there is a division at provincial level. So I just want to find out, is it because of the tension in the provincial level, or is it because those people at municipal councillors are not holding meetings in their council? So the two, I can't actually understand whether. Is it because of the problem from the above, or the problem of councillors who are not holding those meetings? And another question is with regard to the ward committees, as you just quoted some member of the of that committee saying that if you are not actually in the good books of the councillor, then you might not be given an opportunity to speak in public. So does that mean that those people who are in that committee are not independent thinkers? Or does that mean that that councillor doesn't recognize those people elected to that ward committee by the community on the ground? Because I think for a person to serve in the ward committee must be elected by the community on the ground. So is that meaning that the councillor doesn't want to recognize those people who have been elected democratically by the people on the ground?
Thank you very much.
Let me ask you this question. In your conclusion, you say that we should rethink development approaches in small towns. Can you just summarize what your observations are about that, which is what you call the problem here of process control? Second, what is the role of the media? Should we know that? I would like the PLG to also respond to this one. I have a idea of which PLG and target. You've done a very good job of identifying what you call the CMCP. I asked you about the reality, consolidation of the transformation, which was programs called. As a component, it has something called municipal journalism, which has been run by IDA. Now, GCIS and DPLG and SALGA produce a very brilliant pamphlet on the importance of communication. Now, I have been collaborating with that project, the municipal journalism one. We went to several municipalities. And in very few, in fact, in the municipalities where we went, people did not know about it. In Tulamela, where all, which in fact happened to be the biggest one attended by councillors, only one person knew about that pamphlet, which is very, very good, in fact, in my view, when I look at it. So, didn't know about it. Okay. This project helps to bridge the gap between councillors and the local media on the other hand. So they train local media, print and radio, on understanding local government, because that's a gap in the local media. And on the other, councillors don't understand the media. Don't often operate in a manner that is helpful to the municipality itself as well, and so on and so on. So we try to bridge that gap in the media. What I'm saying is that that project has been going on. The presence of SALGA people responsible for communication and media to bring to bear awareness to those municipalities where this project is taking place. What is already on their agenda? What they ought to be knowing already? Because of poor report banks, that information doesn't reach those places. That's the one thing, for example. The PLG the same. Because I think the where we are able to speak, where GCIS is present in a few instances, then they are able to confirm some of those arrangements. And it makes a huge difference in what people then understand. So what I'm saying is that project almost is coming to an end. This is the municipal generalism one. It's been reviewed, funded by DFID. I strongly would recommend that you guys must look at it and see what the possibilities are of doing that work in every municipality, I mean, whatever it takes, because producing good stuff and not intensely interacting with customers about it does not produce the results. So, I'd like to ask you specifically, what do you mean by the role of the media that has been noted? Because you said you've analyzed 200 newspaper articles. What is emerging from there in your assessment that I suspect Patrick Degan would like to hear from you? What are these newspaper, your analysis of the state?
Thank you, Chair. I think I'm going to start with the very first question about the scientific nature of the research. I think it's a good question, but it is going to be very difficult for me to respond to that one, because I think the honorable member would have to tell me what he actually means by scientific. We've got, in a 20-minute presentation, it's very difficult to cover every aspect of your research. But I think what will perhaps be of help to the gentleman is that we've got two comprehensive reports and we're going to leave that. And I did not cover in my presentation was the socioeconomic analysis that we did on these four case studies, because sometimes I think it's also very important to understand whether these projects were actually misdirected. It was all about service delivery. And somewhere in my slides, I've also indicated that it is not only about that. There are structures or individuals at local municipal level who are exploiting, I think also a question from the chair about what I actually mean by ineffective structures. And just to come back, that I think it was one of the very first questions. We found in all four cases that the structures, the systems, the procedures are there, but then it's clearly a lack of accountability. And perhaps I'm going to throw the question back to this house, what are we going to do then? It does not help to create new processes, new policies, because the people do not account. There's a lack of accountability at local level. And if I can just throw a golden thread to all three case studies, it is not sometimes always about service delivery. The people want to be listened. And if they don't, and I mean people do not just, in all four case studies, the communities did not decide overnight to protest. No, none of those communities wake up and say, today we're going to protest. They have exploited from their side all the avenues, but unfortunately they were not let out, and hence this. The second question about the housing allocation, how one should actually go about waiting it. Once again, if municipalities are doing what they expected to do, then I don't think this will be a problem, because obviously, if I'm not mistaken, there are procedures as to how to go about this waiting list. And it is very unfortunate, because sometimes one would blame the provincial government and even the national government, but what happens at local municipality level sometimes, it's all about what in the hands of your local councillors. And if local councillors are not doing what they're supposed to do, then I honestly believe that the political parties have a role to play there in terms of how this aspect is actually handled. I think the third question was about work committee members, work committees, about the illiteracy. I think that was just a comment, if I'm not mistaken, if I heard that correct. But very importantly, sometimes even if meetings are called, people do not attend. But we all know that inherently we are all very selfish. And people will always use situations to their own benefit. And their complaints will always come out that no meetings are held in session with councillors. Whereas people sometimes decide not to attend these meetings. The issue about Kumelela, the political struggles, provincial political struggles, also indicated that from our newspaper or literature reviews, we are all aware that there were political struggles at provincial level in the Free State, and I've also indicated if you look at the slides, that these political struggles seem to have played themselves out even at local government level. For instance, where you see the certain factions or divisions in the leading party in the province actually play themselves out at local municipality level. And the question about what committee meetings, exclusion of certain members, we found that sometimes, once again, as a result of the attitude, because if you look at one of the slides, I've indicated that some of the councillors have been labelled as being arrogant. They do not listen to the community members there. And once again, if also conducted, let me put it this way, a focus group session with community-based workers, and they have indicated that sometimes even if they interact with the work community member, there are certain information that the work community member did not actually relate to them, and that makes it very difficult to do their work. And they also indicated that at one stage they wanted to speak out and they were just isolated. You know, and that sometimes if you're not in the good books of your work committee, the work councillor, that you will not be given a platform to speak in general public meetings. The second last question about the rethinking of the development approaches in small towns. Once again, if you look at the second aspect of my slide, I've indicated that we need to understand the local migration patterns, and perhaps that is what I actually alluded to in that last slide. Yes, that sometimes what happens, and it's very importantly, there's a lot of immigration that happens in this, some of the small towns, which actually places a lot of pressure on the resources at local level, and sometimes that is not actually taken up in your budgetary processes. So local municipalities need to actually be aware of the impact of immigration into some of these small towns, because obviously that also places a lot of pressure on service delivery day. And then the last question is about the role of the media. What we found in Nelson Mandela's Metropolitan is that sometimes, obviously, we all know that especially your print media, like your newspapers are just doing a business. You know, they will try to censor, they will obviously put certain things in a certain way, and that in itself also fuels, it's one factor that can also wrongly or rightly influence people at local municipal level. And what happened in Port Elizabeth, the strike happened in one area, but when people saw that in the evening on the television, that actually spread because everyone wanted to become an instant celebrity. And so obviously, to a large extent, the media also plays a crucial role there for their own, obviously, sometimes to their own advantage, you know, just to sell newspapers there.
Thank you very much, Professor. Actually, I think I was not covered on the question of Kumeleza with regard to not having council meetings. So the answer was actually saying that the division at provincial legislature was actually affecting. But I'm still not convinced, because this Kumeleza is the only one municipality in the province. If that was the case, it was not supposed to be only meeting not being held at Kumeleza. It was supposed to be maybe the several councils in the state. So I just wanted maybe to be clarified on that one. Is it exactly the problem of the province that's causing this municipality not to have these meetings, or is there anything else? That's why I just wanted to find out. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. You should just bear in mind that this was a case study. And then obviously we need to reflect on what we found from the case study. If I can just give you an indication from the councillors, former councillors and current councillors at the time of a reason why those meetings were not taking place. The reason was the municipal manager and the mayor were not in good terms. They were fighting. And in fact, it was also mentioned that they had one girlfriend. So that was the reason for that, why council meetings were not taking place. And at that time, in most instances, most of the councillors were teachers. So meetings were held at 10 o'clock in the morning, between, I think, three or four councillors, whereas the others could not attend, because meetings were held at 10 o'clock in the morning. But that was the reason, the main reason that was actually given, that there was a lot of fighting. The mayor and the municipal manager were not on good terms.
I guess the additional point that is what was that as a result, the allegations of corruption, the researcher said, were not found to have been valid against the individuals in this issue. Because the broad context. If you're looking, okay. Okay, Ekan, I think you want to follow up here.
Yes. You know, the follow up, the question I was asking was in the interest of the short answer. So I was asking, look, I mean, we as political units, guidance. Is it us?
Yeah.
We as politicians, we need guidance, and we
actually to be considered when it gets that Ghanaian from credible institutions like universities. So when you come and present, what we're listening to is something that is different, if possible, from what you hear from newspapers. You see, before you spoke, the person of Salga spoke, and I was comparing the two presentations, and I'm saying they seem similar. That's exactly the same. And my question was, maybe I have mean something from the university's research. When I say scientific, I just mean, you know, when newspapers report, that time it just make money sensation. And that time when we politicians talk, people think, look, these are politicians, and as a result, there might be propagandizing things. But with you as a university, I mean, we expect you scientific means something that is verifiable, that can be proved. But even more important, an analysis that says all these protests don't necessarily mean there's no delivery, or they mean indeed government generally speaking in the country, pick up yourself because you are not delivering. Something that guides us in a developmental state where we can say, are we doing things the right way or are we not doing things the right way? But our country is looking already. We have information. If you are finding, bring up new information that adds value to what we already have. This is the question I was asking.
No,
that's what I said. We should spare the university. And the reason why we should do that. The presenter did not go through the whole document. He presented very briefly the slides that he thought were important. Again, just bringing to say to Delina, through you, Chairperson, that when the presenter went through the methodology, one of the things that he mentioned is focus groups. And he said that they interviewed plasma and trans community members, protesters as well as non-protesters. Now, I mean, the presenter is asked, I don't know if he's ready, but I'm not saying that we should discuss this at this meeting. He would easily be able to say, percentage-wise, what are the issues, what questions are posed, and how the 300 people responded to the question. And so on and so forth. I'm just saying that to me, it does seem that there's a fair amount of work that's happening here. Of course, in any research work, there's room for improvement. And I'm sure this, in part, is what then is saying. But having said that, I don't know if there's not enough to continue. I want to just a brief comment on the following issues. The first one is the allocation of housing and the question of the management of the housing list, as addressed by the member of parliament and member of this committee. Just to say there that the concerns raised, I mean, I understand it and I identify with what they say to emphasize that. Even at the level of implementation of policy, you know, regulations and guidelines and so on, complexities do arise. For instance, in Gauteng, the decision is that when we allocate housing, we should prioritize the 1996, 1997 people, that is, people who are on that list, people who wear those specific forms, because indeed there's beginning to be a sense of disquiet, a sense that the allocation is not being managed properly. So that's a decision that is arrived, and it has now been implemented in the past few months, and we're still progressing somewhat in terms of making progress. the plan should be raised on this topic is that sometimes, even though they have a waiting list, certain situations arise that require you to prioritize those people. Just to give you an example, I mean, we just heard now that someone was in Natal, the people were bent in an old age home. And the embassy has come out to say, well, you know, we are immediately putting funds aside and we're going to build a new home. Some of those people who were in this room would not die in the incident and be reallocated to other homes. The question that can be asked is, how long is the waiting list for people who want to go to old age homes? Why build a new home for these people when there are people who may be in a waiting list and so on for X number of years, etc., etc.? The question of privatization gets into another thing. It may be when there's dire critical conditions that are arising. That will need to be a bit flexible there, but not to the extent that we ignore issues that are concrete and that are on there. The next thing that I wanted to comment on is the question of housing overall. And just to say that I've been reading a book by Kisoto, Ministry of Capital. One of the issues that is not arranged is that millions and millions of people in the developing countries in particular have capital and they own sheds and houses, whether it be Brazil or South Africa or India or anywhere else. And whatever property they own is outside of the legal framework. And I'm raising this because I'm talking to Parliament and people who are looking at technology and so on. Now, the strategy argues that these millions of people stand no chance of ever holding a house for as long as the present situation remains. Because in some countries it can take you up to 100 years or 50 years just to apply. Because the system lags far behind in terms of formalization and so on. So we need to look at individual housing to look at really how do we simplify the laws and make it possible for government to intervene in ways that speeds up process of development. And therefore making housing amounts that are available to 100 people. And that's raising it as an issue. I know that in drawback of beginners there is still a discussion on the question, but it's something that we may need to share, but I think that the parliamentarians must spend a bit of time on that. How do you simplify processes? And then make sure that people don't find themselves operating and working outside of the legal framework, simply because the legal framework is so inflexible and it's not user-friendly. The other point that I want to raise is about political conscience. I think many commentators will agree with me that South Africa is one of the most political countries. The political consciousness of the people of South Africa is very, very high. And this can be changed in a number of ways. One of them is how people, for instance, vote, participate in the democratic processes, and identify their leaders to go to parliament and other legislatures. Now, Europe, many parts of Europe, including amongst the the Americans, the USA in particular, participation in democratic processes is very low. We'll not take for granted the levels of education of our people to mean that that translates into negative and low consciousness. Consciousness is very hard. And second, just to say that our people know that representative democracy, election leaders and so on, can only go so far. That in between the elections, they must use other methods to ensure that their voices are heard.
Thank you very much. That adds to the overall complexity of the issue. Was your question answered?
In a way, it has happened.
Okay.
But not
quite as I knew when I provoked it.
What are the mechanisms that are being defined? Have been identified the root cause of this problem?
Okay.
Counselors and also making sure that there is service delivered on the ground. But after discovering that there are people who are counselors and at the very same time are teachers, the question comes back now. Is those counselors who are also teachers effective in doing their work on the ground? So what is Salga and the DPNG doing with regard to those teachers who maybe compromise the work of being counselors by maybe taking the work of being a teacher serious more than being a counselor, therefore causing this problem of service delivery is a problem. Thank you.
My question to DPLG, one, I think it will be linked to a way forward. Now that, for instance, we have this meeting today with Salga as well as the executive in terms of the future, in what way do you think what you have come up with will be sustained towards ensuring that we are then able to manage these conflicts as they come up? I want to use an example of, there is evidence in terms of the northern areas and the coaching Alexander, as an example. I know that in terms of this exercise, but not delivery, that they've undergone whereby there were protests, but there were money. And the ends are using the northern area. We do have good examples. What is it that you will have learned, or you can steal from such experiences and begin together with SALGA, try and address all the recommendations that are coming up this year? Because they are very clear, and I think there is a need also with the university and SALGA in terms of funders of a program that would, like the Cities Network and many others, you know, be taken through towards sensitizing municipalities. But Rafael, I would like to hear from anyone who tell me about what's happening in Bloemo. I have an interest because in some areas, although we do not elaborate on that, also they have faced this. But how do you think those challenges will be addressed? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just asking this question to the GPLG. We have heard now that what is the cause of the protest in some municipalities. So what GPLG going to do, as we have seen in their reports, most of the municipalities have underspent their budget, and the people there are waiting for service delivery. They also contribute in the lack of service delivery and contract in those municipalities. Thank you.
Then go to the GPLG to respond. But I just want to say that internationally, in some of the association of municipalities at the South, one of their strengths is their research capacity. And SALGA is looking itself as a knowledge center. Now, this is one area that we would like to get a response on plans for creating that in-house and what resources requirements are needed for that. So that the speed with which you respond, okay, because clearly what is emerging is inside communities, is that knowledge once collected needs to be deployed for it to be useful. This is one area that GPLG and yourself need to speak to as well. I mean, there's no doubt that we don't also want to reinvent the wheel. There's a lot of things that are happening in municipalities that can be prevented if knowledge is quickly shared in an intensive person-to-person style in many of those areas. So those are areas that I think are very important. And just for GPLG also to reflect on the early warning sign, which is very, I find it very interesting, as used by the investor of the city. These are the elements of an early warning. This is what normally indicates there's going to be, the corporate is going to hit the fence here very soon. Look at this very interesting stuff from there. So please talk to them and any other that you may have been looking at from where you are.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members. Maybe just to say that.
You know this customer, it's still language, my bias coming. But we long took a decision for the creation of this in all municipalities. And so in a sense, the behavior of councillors as indicated in certain instances, because often we can generalize on one arrogant fellow there, representative for all councillors, but it's not true. But somehow part of the overall scheme for creating the center so that people feel the impact of good service is like a very critical area of work. So a thought or two about how that can become an important focus of the work that we do, or rather as SALGA and the department does, to prioritize it because it speaks directly to these issues. So that you remove, because some people, a few of them,
Chairperson. When we started the meeting this morning, you were not here, and the caretaker chairperson said we had a challenge of time, but I thought I would have been prepared. So I think
there's probably a few that my chair so the deadline of my
Now, I think the first question was a question around teachers who are counselors, and are they are these counselor teachers effective, and is that possibly a contributing factor? I think the first part of that answer must simply be to say that we have not undertaken specific assessments and analysis of this, so I cannot on any basis be quantitative on this. But secondly, where these instances, in other words, where teachers are counselors, I think the only scenario that is legally allowed is that these teachers have to be part-time counselors. That's my understanding. And as other part-time counselors, obviously they would assume that they have other productive activities. I'm simply just making those statements, and I would like to believe, although we need to do more work and come back to the committee to ascertain whether this in itself is a particular problem in relation to the discussion, the topic of discussion today, Chairperson. Then there was another question on a very valid question on how we, in what way can we manage these conflicts. I thought what we were saying in our presentation, and I thought it also came up very clearly at a high level from Salva's presentation, is that if we, as national governments, as provinces, and as Salga, and as parties, partners, if we really give maximum attention to implementing the local government strategic agenda in all its different dimensions, I would really strongly argue, Chairperson, that we're dealing with the multiplicity of causes and factors and issues that seem to come to the fore, as we have identified it today. We can talk about service delivery, we can talk about capacity, we can talk about community participation, we can talk about good governance, we can talk about anti-corruption. All of those matters, they are very clear interventions that we've put in place. So Chairperson, I mean that's what I would like to continue to say to this committee. To the best of my knowledge, we are not going to put a special unit in place now because running around the country dealing with the protest. We've got a very structured, systematic program of working with municipalities and programs, and I think if we do our work there, then we should address some of these causal factors. I did, however, also in the presentation, recognize, Chairperson, that we intend to strengthen our own capability in the department to better monitor and anticipate these protests. What I did not say when we introduced the team, to the left of me, my colleague here, Dr. Christopher C., is in fact in our research component, and one of his areas is also maybe going to assist us with that kind of analysis. Also, Mr. William Rampere to my right hand side in the corner there, he is responsible for monitoring the financial viability and of our municipalities, and already we need to put some early warning systems in place, simply to reject those indicators. So there are a number of things that we need to kind of do in that Chairperson. Very direct question on Bloomhoff. I'm sorry, we'll have to get that information for the honourable member. Again, there was a question around municipalities that can't spend budgets and whether this again isn't a contributing factor. Certainly some of the research that I have seen has in fact pointed to this as being a contributing factor. In fact, the one piece of work I've seen, what it did a comparative analysis of the capital budget of municipalities and tried to put forward the argument that was saying in some of the municipalities where we saw protests, the capital budget of those municipalities were way below the national average of what you would expect the percentage of the capital budget to be in relation to the total budget. So that kind of argument was beginning to come through. So I'm saying that seems to be identified already. Chairperson, on the issue of the responsiveness, I think maybe let me give two parts to the response there. the first part of the response must be a view that says we have adopted this government's Batopede as an overall approach and ethos to get our system of government to work in a particular way, serving our people. And I think it's only been very recently that we've tried to introduce the Batopede program in a very structured way into local government. In fact, this program is actually, we're working very closely with the Department of Public Service and Administration, and even as DPLG, we are really trying to see how we can take that forward. So again, Chair, with your permission, I think we may want to come back to the committee to begin to share some of the kind of lessons and kind of innovations, because clearly the Batopede program must begin to answer the question of responsiveness, efficient administration, dealing with the problems and feelings of people, and really being the kind of people-friendly government, especially at the local level. The second part of my response to the question, Chairperson, is as part of Project Consolidate, what we did is we identified 12 municipalities around the country where we were there to work with them in particular to strengthen their own system. And out of these municipalities, there's a particular example of Buffalo City, where I think once a month they've gone out of their way to really make the municipality accessible and open to all the people to come in and raise any particular problem that they have related to kind of service delivery. Again, we can come to the committee with those details and the information that I looked at this report some time ago, but certainly the feedback that we got that this was quite well received by residents in Buffalo City. We like to think once a month, all these people would just come to the municipality, they would come to a single point, they would be able to raise anything and the municipality would put maximum mechanisms in place. That's one example of how we're beginning to see innovative approaches to municipalities become slightly more responsive. Chairperson, let me conclude just by making one or two other general points quickly with your permission. What the colleague from the Free State did say, this is my first point in conclusion. It is in his presentation and also in the report that we publicly studied and seen of the Center for Development and Support. They made a number of recommendations in terms of how we use them. And quite frankly, we think a lot of those recommendations are actually quite positive and practical. They include things such as early warning systems, voting mediation capacity, and so on. But the point I also wanted to make, looking at the whole range of research that I refer to, the kind of recommendations go way beyond that. They kind of speak to the need to more rigorously implement our performance management systems in municipalities, strengthen systems of accountability, improve our capacity to spend. So there are a whole lot of practical kind of suggestions, and the point I'm making here is that we are looking at all of those recommendations, and we certainly want to feed them into the kind of policy process. The second point in conclusion, and here I want to just give some of our kind of views, which are a bit different to what we've seen in research. We have seen some what I'm going to call normative conclusions arising out of this research that we don't necessarily agree with. And at the risk of having a discussion with my colleague from the Free State outside of this meeting, let me just make one small example. If you look at the one publication that they published, they now, the entire publication is called something like Service Delivery Culture, the New Struggle in South Africa. Now, just when you begin to frame it like that, I mean, it begins to posit the problem in a particular kind of way and begin to frame the discourse, which we think is maybe not necessarily helpful. So I'm giving that as one example. Another example that I would give, and maybe I shouldn't mention some of the other organizations, but again, some of the experts are beginning to argue that the protests are due to what they call the wholesale transformation of local government in this country. In other words, they have a problem with the way in which we've embarked on the local government transformation process in this country. They thought we should have adopted a much more incremental piecemeal way of dealing with it. The third normative conclusion that we also have a problem with some of the other research that we've seen
people talk about a crisis of legitimacy beginning to take hold in our entire system of legal government. And we fundamentally disagree with that. We don't think these protests are symptomatic of a fundamental crisis of legitimacy. So I'm just saying that I think we need to engage with normative conclusions and messages that are beginning to come with some of these pieces of research. The message that we want to put forward is a message that says our communities have got rights and obligations. I think that is an important message that must come. And when we talk about rights, it includes the things that the chairs of myself were talking about. Protest is a feature of democracy. But also in our legislation, we have entitled our people to do certain things. But at the same time, we need to talk about the obligations. And those obligations are certain things that we expect from our communities. Chairs of in conclusion, let me, and I'm going to end up on setting on a note that to take the discussion outside. In our view, we have research, there are a number of questions that are unanswered. That many of a lot of this research that simply don't hear into those areas. Yet, let me just mention one or two examples and I'll end there. A lot of the research that we've seen talk about the fact that many cultures seem to be concentrated in provinces like Free State and the Northwest. They simply make that observation. But they don't begin to explain and provide an opinion as to why this may be concentrated. They are simply putting that on the table. Another question is, why are some cultures as opposed to others violent and blatantly aimed at destroying public infrastructure? Now, again, if you begin to look at that, I think we can begin to come to some kind of temporal explanation. And maybe even a long, difficult question to ask is we need to also look at what political parties are doing in addressing some of these issues and protests. And again, here we can say as a national department, we are aware that some political parties are indeed looking at some of these issues. So all of them, there are certain issues in the research that are not coming to the fore. But certainly, chairperson, in our view, this is an area of work that certainly we're concerned about. We can't say that we're necessarily happy with the process, but we are certainly doing a range of things quietly, and certainly at a public level, we think local government strategic agenda remains the correct strategic approach to dealing with many of these causes. Thank you.
Thank you for the response, DPLT. But I still think that the level of protest and the number of protests comes back to us as a department, because it says no matter what we can say, there are many other sectors involved in the protest, but it says there is something that we have not done right as local government. And that's the root cause of the protest. I also want to go back to the issue of ward committees. That much as we say we have 99% area with ward committees, but the effectiveness of the ward committees is still in question. It is good to have protests, fine, but we shouldn't have a high level. So there is an element that we need to look into as a department. The other element, the other point I want to go into is the level of development in other areas. I would like us as DPLT to come into the public service and administration argument that people shouldn't be counselors. Because in areas, especially in the rural areas, the highest qualified person in the area is either a teacher or a policeman or a nurse. If we DPLT start doing those people should be taken into account in the much as the public service and administration is saying it, because if we start that going to the public argument, then we also are robbing ourselves as DPLT of the effectiveness of democracy in those areas. Can you see the difference?
Western Cape has advertised their work for us. We can take that. And that's why we get your comments, because this relates to the quality of what we're doing. Then this is also to you, President. with BPLG. You know, this thing of some provinces, maybe this will fall within the white people doing their own thing whilst we are a unitary state. I personally have a problem with that because we had meetings recently, public hearings, where we were not happy with other provinces in terms of the municipalities that did not establish those committees as they are supposed to be. But I just want to hear your own comments. Thank you. Without the positive what Lapsus called, I think also we need to discuss that latter issue when we have tea together, because I would agree now here in terms of teachers compromising services or a matter of the students where they are supposed to be focused. But we talk over.
Yes, because we have visited here and then the new council speaker. So thanks for the
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just wanted to make two quick points on the issue of the ward committee. Yes, indeed, 99% establishment rate is what we appreciate in terms of strengthening the governance arrangements within the 5-year local government framework agenda. However, we have noticed that there is still real practical problems in terms of the functioning and the resourcing of ward committees. Which is a point the honourable member is alluding to. And one of the key proposals we are making as organised local government in the white paper review process is the proper coordination of the functioning of the ward committees as a mechanism for public participation. And also we are making key proposals around the resources and capacitation of municipalities to ensure that the ward committees function better. So we have made a key proposal based on our research over the last 5 years on planting ward committees. The issue of ward forums, ward committees, again we have made proposals in the white paper review process, the first review of questions around the work of ward committees and how ward committees should be a somewhat compulsory feature of establishment to make sure that there's uniformity in the country and all those issues. So we're engaging with that aspect. The last part I wanted to assure you, Chairperson, you raised 2 points earlier on around SAUDA as an organization to look at strengthening the research capacity, its internal capability to anticipate areas, and also to improve its public image and also articulating issues affecting local government to have presence. We have recently finalized a 5-year strategic plan for public as an organization arising out of the National Conference in April. And we would like to come back to the portfolio committee, if we would be granted to share with the committee our perspective in terms of how we want to approach these things in the future, and how we would be improving exactly on this group, the aspect of the research capacity as well as the communication capability of our organization. So if we come back, we will share with the committee our 5 years to the plan to organization.
Thank you very much. I would like to make one comment linked to your last comment. I'm going to request that we, with the permission of members here, myself and Honorable President Legacy, we attended the conference in Madrid, the UNDP conference in Madrid on capacity building. In my humble opinion, one of the best presentations was by the Latin American region of a project.